Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And welcome back. We have already had quite a busy show going down to LSU, talking to Brody Miller. And you heard from Hugh Freeze in the last hour from Liberty, the former Ole Miss coach. He talked about the possibility of finding a job that would interest him. Let's get back to the calls we go. And Logan is in Kentucky. Hello, Logan.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
So I want to talk about the Sweet 16 games today.
Okay, Logan.
Do you think Arkansas has a chance against Gonzaga? Personally, I don't think so.
Logan, I would be inclined to agree with you. And anytime you have a conversation like this, it almost sounds like a diss on Arkansas, which it isn't. By the way, how old are you, Logan?
I am 17.
17. So you've seen enough basketball to know when one team is heavily favored. Now, just because you're heavily favored doesn't mean you'll win, but in this case, I would tend to go with Gonzaga.
Okay, I can agree with that, although I'm an Alabama fan.
Okay.
So, Alabama has beaten Arkansas, Gonzaga, I believe.
Houston.
Miami. Houston and Miami. All of those teams are in the Sweet 16. And personally, my Final Four in my normal bracket was Gonzaga, Tennessee, Wisconsin, and Kentucky. And I had Kentucky beating Wisconsin. But, yeah, that didn't work out. But other than that.
Well, Logan, the great part about the tournament is you can come up with a new bracket.
That's true.
Well, listen, I'm really glad to hear from you. You take care of yourself and call us again. Thank you very, very much. Al is in Georgia. Hello, Al. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, brother?
Al, we are great.
Outstanding. Hey, been a while since I called you to talk to you. I'm the one that wound up getting a stroke a little over a year ago and a seizure. But I'm on my health way back. I've come back. I'm still on my medication. But I want to tell you a funny story. My wife reminded me the last time I called you. When I was down in the hospital with my seizures and all that stuff, I was at Baptist Hospital. They sit there, and after 3 days there, I told them, I said, I'm leaving. And she told me, she says, I was really upset because they didn't have the Paul Feinbaum show on it. So they, and the doctor talked to her and all that stuff. And he says, do you think he's serious? And she said, I'm telling you, he was a first responder. He knows how to take all of those tubes out of him. He will walk out of here. So the doctor come in, told me, he said, well, if you get one of those spinal things tomorrow, then we'll see about letting you go. I said, all right, let's just get it done. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Whenever he stuck that needle in my spine, Lord have mercy. I was not thinking too highly of Paul Feinbaum, any of the fans, or anything. I was raising sand.
I have never had that, thank goodness. What's it like, other than just pure pain?
Well, it was pure pain. That's all I can tell you. Because I grabbed a hold of the bed rail, and all I wanted to do was bend it in two. I don't know how women go through epidurals and all that mess. But anyway, what I was calling about is I wanted to brag on a couple of people. I wanted to brag on the I Man. I like old I Man. He's pretty smart, and I think a lot of them, they kind of get frustrated with him because he talks in 3 and 4 syllable words. Some of them don't understand that, and they get frustrated with it. The other one that I want to brag on, and I used to not like him until I got out of the hospital, and he was Geminized. But once he got de-Geminized, then old legend, hey, I'll tell you what, he's a heck of a man. I love listening to him now since he's got away from Jim. He's fabulous.
Well, I'll tell you what, Al, a lot of people agree. I am just so glad to hear you're doing better. You continue that road.
Oh, I'm back. I'm back here. That day I was out here under my shed, had the Pine Bomb show on, and I was watching it. I watch it every day.
Well, where do you live?
In Folkston, Georgia.
Okay.
I'm just north of Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, you give me the name of that hospital, and we'll give them a piece of our mind.
Well, I don't think you have to, because I gave one when I was leaving. one more question, and I'll get off here. This guy Jeff from Ohio? I mean, I understand that his college is up there, and they don't have no like we got Greg Sankey. They don't have one, I guess.
No.
And they don't have a show, so he has to call in down here. But ain't he the same one that wanted to criticize coaches? And isn't he the same one that wanted to criticize ESPN and how they run their management?
Oh, yeah, he's always criticizing ESPN.
I don't understand this guy. He's a know-it-all. I don't know how the hell he even wound up getting on. Pardon my French. I'm sorry. I don't know how he wound up getting on that board. But anyway, hey, the other thing I wanted to say right quick is you do a fabulous job, but I also want to congratulate those guys behind the scenes. I mean, I get to hear them every now and then, but I wish I had one of those earbuds you had. They do such a fabulous job. I mean, from answering the phone to trying to take care of you to bleeping. I mean, they are awesome. And I'll tell you, this show should be got some high ranking.
Well, Al, thank you. And you're right about the people in the other room. I know we refer to them generically, but there are a lot of very talented people who make this show work every day. Thank you very much. Continued good health. Let's continue with Mitch in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Paul. I am, of course, a new, like, 2-year listener. I wanted to make a suggestion. Is it possible that y'all could one day do, like, some past calls of Tammy and Phyllis, and even when y'all say that Jim was at the top of his game, for those of us who wasn't lucky enough to know about them then?
Yeah, I think that's very possible. In fact, we had a tape a couple of years ago when this show's first started that we did for people who were unfamiliar with it. I wonder if we could dig that up one day. But, that's a very good idea, because, I mean, people always hear about the callers that used to be on the show and maybe how they used to sound. So we'll go to work on that.
Which one is the one that calls, or don't call now, but used to call Colin Cow her cow turd?
I believe that was Phyllis.
I heard her a few times, I think, but she's got a high pitched voice.
She's got kind of a gravelly voice.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I would like to hear them, because I mean, those are the things we got to miss out on. Because it sounds like the show was really kicking back then.
Yeah, it's really too bad you got stuck with this version of the Fine Bomb Show.
No.
The Mitch version.
But I still, and I want to ask you a quick question about Mark. Whenever his Notre Dame team beat Alabama, does he have to go outside the room to cheer?
Well, yeah, I mean, they did win in basketball on Friday. I don't think – I'm not sure Mark was here, but, yeah, he was not here. But, you know, I mean, Mark, interestingly, Mark's favorite basketball team is St. Bonaventure, not Notre Dame. He went to school there. He's just a Notre Dame football fan.
Oh, okay. Well, he and I will be battling this year.
Yeah, no, he's Mark will have to live to be a very old man to see Notre Dame beat Alabama in football.
Well, I'm hoping to share a carafe of nice bourbon with him and y'all one day.
We are looking forward to that. Take care of yourself, Mitch. You be well. Let's talk to Dallas in Little Rock. Hey, Dallas.
Hey, Paul. A pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Hey, you know how some sports stars are remembered for some certain sports moment?
Sure.
Well, similarly, I have one etched in my brain for you, Paul. I'm always going to remember the moment you were hovering and swaying over that alligator like a mongoose ready to attack.
I have to say, for those who, we have it on the clip that begins every hour. It was down in Gainesville this year, and it was completely unexpected. I had seen I'd already met the alligator. The alligator came up to our meeting before the show, and I've talked to alligators before at Florida. They always bring one on, and so I didn't really have any great desire. But when the guy put it on the table, I couldn't resist. So I'm glad.
What did your wife think of that?
A nose.
What did your wife think of that?
She was in shock. That's what she thought of it. And I mistakenly acted like I knew something about alligators when I got home that afternoon. I said, "Well, I thought the alligator was going to snap, and I was already ready to back up." In all candor, I was hoping it would snap because I had already the second I saw movement, I was flipping right back into the chair. What I didn't understand, and you may know something about alligators. What I didn't understand is they don't snap. They crawl straight ahead, grab you, and then snap. So I was pretty close to losing my nose and ears because there was no way I could have stopped I'm right by the table. The alligator would have crawled right into my neck, and there's no telling what would have happened. It would have been great television as long as I didn't get killed. Well, it may have been great. May have been better television, but I know the guys on the set were the only person that showed any sympathy for me was Laura Rutledge. She was screaming while Roman, Jordan, and Tebow were laughing.
That sounds about right. Hey, Paul. Did I hear your earlier guest say that the Cajun Cookie Monster was looking for a media gig?
Yes. Brody Miller said that Ogeron was currently negotiating with television networks.
Wow. I thought, don't you have to at least be able to pass the he's an expert on the other phone line telling me how to defuse a bomb test?
Yeah. If Ogeron gets on with one of the networks, I'll make this prediction, Dallas, and it's an either or. He will either be the biggest star in the history of television because he's just so likable, or he won't last a week, and because there will be no in between. There's a reasonable chance he could be very funny.
Well, I guess we'll have to find out. Just one last point, and then if you don't mind, was just to touch base on the comment by the South Carolina basketball coach, and that's just that. I mean, we have a minor league baseball team called the Arkansas Travelers here,
right?
And I'm sure those guys would love to have the same accommodation as the New York Yankees, but unfortunately those guys realize that this is a revenue production issue and nothing more or nothing less than that.
Dallas, thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Dallas calling from Little Rock. And we are back with more of your phone calls. Lewis Riddick as well at the bottom of the hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Lewis Riddick on the draft coming up in a minute. Michael in North Carolina. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Paul. One comment and a question. Comment. Kudos to Jim for recognizing the erudite commentary of Squirrel. Squirrel really does make a big difference in the show, and so we need to encourage guys like that. Secondly, Jeff from Columbus. I don't understand how he made the Final 16, and then today to call in and start to try to report on Pro Day in Columbus, of all places. I wanted to ask you, Paul, do you know the difference between a Yankee and a hemorrhoid?
Give me a second on this. Difference between a Yankee and a hemorrhoid. I can't come up with it.
Well, there isn't much, because once they come down, they rarely go back up, and they're always a pain in the you-know-what. All right. Thanks, Paul.
I like that one. Very good. Mary is in Ohio. Hello, Mary.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
I just wanted to commend you on the show. I've been watching it for about 3 years. My husband passed away in 2020, and he was sent from Ohio down to Mississippi to work for a very popular soda company, and he came to love Southern sports. And I'm a big football fan. I'm a big Saints fan. So I just love the show and just want to commend you on what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I'm so sorry to hear about the loss of your husband, but I certainly hope you are adjusting to life. I know it's not very easy. I can't imagine what it's like.
Well, thank you. Yes, I lost my son in 2019 as well. He was
my
only child. So I just I love the show. It just keeps me connected with sports, and I love sports. So just thank you for what you do. You do a great job.
Mary, you be well, and we will all be thinking of you. Thanks so much. You take care of yourself. What a tough message to hear there. Can't imagine. Legend is next.
Whew. East Coast, baby. What's going on, Paul?
Legend.
I'm feeling a ring in my future. Restoring the order of power, Alabama Nation. Restoring the order of power, baby. I'm going to take this championship, and it's going to kick us off, and we're going to take another championship in the fall when we put that puppy in its place, baby. Woo! Hey, Paul, Larry from Missouri, he's got to be the best Twitter guy. You had a Twitter.
Oh, yeah, no. I wish if I could share his tweets, I would, but I can't.
Yeah, I wish he'd lay off my boy Joe Black Hat Brother, but that dude is hilarious. He said of Jim, it's ironic that an 80-year-old man who claims to be 40 has the nerve to call somebody phony. Woo! Listen here, Jim. I never came on here and said I was Ted Williams. I never came on here and said I could beat Minnesota fast, that I was better than Joe Namath. You're so fake, Barbie is jealous. I'd pimp slap your ass, but crap flies everywhere. You self-centered, insecure, gutter rat. Let me tell you something else, too, dude, so you know the point is clear. I know Tony Bennett may have left his heart in San Francisco, but it's clear to me today you left your balls in kindergarten, dude. You don't want no part of the legend. I just put you in your place so you know it. And for Augie, I got a degree at the Department of Correction, dude. A degree in ass. That's what I got a degree in. So don't you worry about it, brother. Don't you worry about it. And before I get off, one more thing for you, Jim. This is my comment to end this round of the Final Four. Two words for you, brother. This comment. Two words. One finger. Legend out.
Ooh. Short to the point. Legend delivering a blow as we get to the Final Four of the caller bracket. We'll update you on that in a couple of minutes. We still have a couple of guests remaining, including Lewis Riddick. Aaron Suttles at the top of the hour on the Tide. But Lou will join us next to talk about the draft.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Watching some of Matt Corral's pro day during the break, and we want to get some more expertise from the best in the business, Lewis Riddick, joining us from ESPN to give us a few thoughts on that and others. Lewis, first of all, great to have you back. Good afternoon.
Paul, what's up, man? How you been?
We're okay. We, like you and everyone else, watching pro days across the country. We had Hugh Freeze on about an hour ago talking about Malik Willis. Let me start there, since we just got through talking to Coach. What are your thoughts on Malik?
Well, look, this is the time of year where everyone wants to talk about traits, right? So I think from the way he's put together, I mean, body type-wise, I mean, you see his lower body. He looks like he'd go compete in the Mr. Olympia. His arm strength is spectacular. I think his functional strength in movement fluidity on the football field is second to none. He will be an absolute terror as far as a, you know, maybe being put in an RPO-based offense on first and second down, just like he was at Liberty. I mean, he's a problem in that way. He can throw the football. He can reach any part of the field that you need him to reach. And look, all these kinds of things are great. It's the pre-snap identification, post-snap identification, on third down in the NFL when you're talking about a drop-back game, just how much time is he going to need to really get comfortable with, one, understanding what his offense wants to do, understanding what defenses are trying to do to him. That's where it's going to get gray with him, and you're going to have to be patient with him and give him time. And really, you know, that component of it, the mental aspect of it, Paul, a lot of it will have to do with the place he goes to and how good they are at teaching these concepts and getting them, getting them to the point where he can really digest them and use them. Or also a lot of it's going to be on him. How much work is he willing to put in, knowing that he just can't rely on his athletic ability to rip people apart like he could in college? And that's usually what separates, you know, the average from the good from the great in the NFL, especially at that position. Just how much are you willing to put in? Because the greats do. You know, and that's what makes them great. But he has the tools to do everything that you want.
With Lewis Riddick, Lewis, I mentioned Matt Corral. Your thoughts on him and how does he set up for the draft?
Yeah, I think, you know, with Matt, again, it's going to be a lot of a projection because at Ole Miss, the offense that you see him running, yeah, there's some teams that will use some components of it, but it's just when I watch Ole Miss, as much as I love Lane and, you know, as fast as that offense can get going and how much pressure it can really put on a defense horizontally and vertically, there's a you know, I struggle to see a lot of what they really utilize down there being utilized on a consistent basis at the professional level. So with Matt, I mean, obviously people wanted to see him throw the football, especially the deep ball, with some consistency in this workout. And although I was on TV when he was doing it, I heard that he had a pretty good workout, you know. And, you know, I saw him, especially when he was trying to throw the football down the field, like I'm sitting here looking at some of my notes here, you know, against Arkansas in October. You know, he left some deep balls short. It was that seemed to be a part of his game that he hadn't developed enough consistency with. And they utilized a lot of short passes down there, you know, at Ole Miss, getting the ball into those playmakers' hands and letting them run with it after that. So, but he's tough as hell. We know that. We know he's a guy who can take big hits, come back, and continue to live to fight another day. He can scramble, create outside the pocket. But again, there's a significant amount of projection you're going to need to do with him, and patience you're going to need to have with him, you know, if you're going to wind up drafting him at the end of the first round, top of the second round, or wherever ultimately his value is determined to be. Unlike maybe, you know, a guy who isn't in the SEC, but a guy like Kenny Pickett, who played in an offense at Pittsburgh, that you can very much so see transferring to what NFL passing concepts look like right now. So that's what makes it fun. That's what we'll digest over the next 6 weeks or so. And then NFL teams will have their crack at it and see if they can unlock the potential of these young kids.
With Lewis Riddick, we've talked about Malik Willis and of course, Corral. Let me ask you about NFL coaches leaning heavily on particular coaches. I've spoken to you in the past about Nick Saban, and it seems like Belichick, among others, leads pretty heavily. You've got a lot of familiarity with Saban, as we've talked about in the past, as being one of your former coaches. When it's in between, does that make a big difference?
You mean when you're not quite sure
Yes.
about a guy? Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, sources at the college level. People, sources that you trust, people who you know understand the differences between college and the pros, can kind of make the projection as far as what their guy in college will look like once they get to the pros, how much pro-style concepts that they were exposed to in college, and how that will help them in the pros. Those guys are in that. I mean, they're just you can't really place a value on them. And a guy like Nick, who has coached at the very, very highest level and was one of the very best to do it as a coordinator in particular, to have that relationship with him is priceless. It's absolutely priceless in today's game. And he's someone who, look, you would think it would just be on the defensive side of the ball, but look, Nick understands offensive football as well as anyone as well. And you need those sources. You need those resources, you need those testimonials from guys like that, because look, it's hard, man. And it's really hard in the NFL now with the decrease in the amount of practice time that you get overall, the amount of 11-on-11 time that you get, the reduction in preseason games, the reduction in live scrimmage opportunities. You are really having to make some, obviously they're educated guesses, educated projections, but you just don't have the resume on some of these guys that you maybe have had in the past. So coaches like Coach Saban, they're tremendous resources. And I'll tell you what, if I ever got back in the NFL, you can best believe I would be absolutely chewing his ear off, asking him about information, not only about the guys that he coached, but the guys that he coached against, because you can bet that he has a Rolodex on everybody and he doesn't forget anything. So yeah, those guys are critical, especially in those decisions where it can go either way with maybe two different guys. He could definitely help you break the tie.
I know we're talking broadly here, but Kirby Smart just put one of the greatest defenses on the field we've ever seen, and there are almost too many players to go through. But as you look at that, as you watch that Georgia team throughout the fall, and now look at them individually, what comes to mind in terms of talent other than enormous?
Yeah. I mean, they have a little bit of everything that you want, right? I mean, so if you're looking for a guy who is a prototype 4-3-3 technique, a defensive tackle who can rush the passer, who can play a one-gap style defense or a two-gap style defense and be, you know, just hell on wheels as a point of attack player against the run, chase ball carriers down, on third down, get after the passer. But Devontae Wyatt, he can do it all. I mean, he can do all of that. And he plays at such a high clip, at a high tempo, and he's so advanced with his hands. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And then, you know, when you juxtapose that with a guy like Jordan Davis, who athletically now, I mean, he had everybody's head blowing up at the combine with how a big man like that can move like that, not just in a straight line, but as far as his change of direction skills. I mean, that's just unfair that one team has that many people on its roster, you know, on one side of the ball in particular. And then even the guy like Trayvon Walker, who quite honestly, for me, when I was watching Georgia's defense, between Jordan and Devontae and then Trayvon, look, the other two stood out to me. They had their flash moments where you were like, okay, yeah, I want one of those, I want one of those. What was interesting to me about Trayvon is when he tested at the combine, I did not expect to, although people had said he's going to test very, very well, see, I didn't see that same kind of athleticism transferring on the football field that I saw with Devontae and Jordan. But when you have a guy who's that big and that fast, you go back and you watch more tape and you make a little bit more of a projection. That's where you kind of go to his coaches down at Georgia and go, hey, look, I didn't necessarily see this athleticism transfer on the field like it did with some of your other players, but just tell me a little bit more about the guy, the player, his preparation, his passion, you know, his all those kind of things, because you don't want to be the guy who misses on someone who's that gifted athletically. Look, N'Kobe Dean stands out because he's just a baller. He is about as tough as they get. He is fast. He is physical. He can blitz. He can cover. He can tackle. Lewis Cine is one of my favorite guys in the draft because of just how dynamic he is, the closing quickness, the tackling ability, the hitting ability. I mean, it's just player after player after player, man. And it's no surprise that they won the national championship.
Finally, Lewis, there are drafts when it's obvious. We don't need to wait till draft night to see whether Trevor Lawrence gets picked or someone else. This year, I've seen a number of different names pop up, and it is need-oriented with the Jaguars. But is there one player in this draft, regardless of position, that if you were making the call, you would grab?
You know, honestly, I think Ike Ekwonu from NC State, the offensive tackle, because of how he plays the game, the nastiness with which he plays in the run game, the just in-your-face wanting to physically impose his will on you is something that really catches my attention, especially at a premium position like that, which is, you know, when you're talking about left tackle in particular, you kind of associate it with being a finesse position as far as having to have great feet, protect the passers, blind side, et cetera, et cetera. But this guy plays the game with a throwback mentality while also having the ability to be one of those dancing bear, quote-unquote, type of guys who can protect with the very best of them and has worked really hard to get his game to that level. He's probably the guy for me that I think, and then listening to him talk at the combine, that really just has me excited about what his prospects are at the next level and how good he could possibly be. But look, I mean, at that position alone, Paul, I mean, Evan Neal's another one that your listeners are very, very familiar with, who is going to be a hell of a pro, who's very versatile, has played multiple positions along the offensive line during his time there at Alabama. Charles Cross, same way. I mean, there's just so many good ones, but Icky's one of those guys who, to me, because of his physicality, I'd be super, super excited if I can get my hands on him.
Many thanks to Lewis Riddick. Lewis, I know how busy you are because I've watched you all day, and this is a very busy time of the year. So thanks for making a few minutes for us. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. Hey, look, every time I'm in the car in the afternoon, call Paul is on my radio. You can ask my kids. I'm listening to you all the time, but you have one of the catchiest tunes as far as the start of your radio show of any on radio. I love it.
Thank you so much, Lewis. That means a lot. We will hopefully see you soon. You be well.
You bet, man. Thanks.
Lewis Riddick joining us, and we owe Taylor Hicks for that, because Taylor Hicks is the one who penned that song. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back we go, and Augie is in New Orleans. So hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. I just want to thank all of my voters for their support. Really appreciate it. I got knocked out by the greatest caller of all time. But, Paul, I'll say this. Out of the Elite Eight, I'm the newest of the callers because I think all the other guys were your former Birmingham callers.
Oh, yeah, no,
callers.
Having an Elite Eight run in your first tournament's pretty good.
Hell yeah, and I am proud of it, and I want to thank Mary Kay for her support, and Pat from Georgia. Pat supported me, so thanks, Pat. Paul, remember Manuel Noriega?
Yes,
Operation
Nicaragua,
Jeff
right?
In Panama.
Yeah.
Yeah, Panama.
Oh, Panama. Who am I thinking? That was Ortega.
That was Daniel Ortega.
Daniel Ortega. I'm sorry. My apologies to Manuel Noriega.
Poor man. Well, he's
for putting him in the same
man.
Category with Ortega.
Exactly. So remember he sought refuge in the Vatican embassy?
Oh, yes.
And I think the special forces surrounded him.
They did.
They played this loud, obnoxious music to coax him out. And it really didn't work. But you know what? They were playing the wrong kinds of stuff. If they would have played back-to-back tapes of Jeff from Ohio, he'd have come out of there screaming with his hands over his head, take me. Exactly. So if the FBI ever calls and wants tapes of Jeff, hand them over quickly, because I think you'd solve a lot of hostage situations if you just handed them those tapes. But Brian Kelly, Paul, was that interview, those interview clips, Brian Kelly and the Brody Miller interview, was that an indictment on the mess Ed O had left?
Yes.
I mean, it was to the point where he was saying these guys have no discipline. They don't seem to want to work out. And everything he said, if you go back and review the tape, it's the same thing I said the last 2 years. These guys don't look in shape. They look fat. They look weak. They look slow. And they look like they don't care. It looks like they have not been under any kind of regime to get them in shape to win. And that's exactly what the guy has said. And if Kayshawn Boutte doesn't want to get with the program, let him go to Alabama. Because you think he's going to act that way with Nick Saban?
Probably not.
So what's he think? He's going to leave LSU and go to Alabama and just run in the field and play, and Saban's not going to expect him to work out? I don't know what these kids think. I think they think that they've made it to big time, and now they can do what they want. And good for Brian Kelly. That is the first real positive thing I heard out of his mouth, that he's holding them accountable. And whether they win 6 games or 9 or 10 games, if he keeps those guys on a short leash, he will have done his job the first year. That's what I think. And as far as Brian Kelly's intellect, where would you rank him if you had to rank SEC coaches in terms of their intelligence? Would he be in the top tier, middle tier, lower tier?
Extreme upper echelon.
That's exactly where I would put him. Hey, Paul, thanks. Appreciate the time.
Thank you very, very much. We are at the end of 3 hours. Let's update the bracket again that Augie was talking about. We have now moved on to the Elite Eight. We've got a gym legend matchup, which some people felt like it really should have been the final, but we don't control it. And then you have a rather bizarre matchup on the other side, I-Man and Squirrel. It doesn't have the drama of the gym legend matchup, which is essentially a gladiator fight. I mean, the loser is going to be carried out of the Coliseum. But I'm in it, but what we're really setting up here, I think, is a contrasting finale. The polls close in 30 minutes, and then we will get to the finals. But in Squirrel and I-Man, you have two distinct differences. By the way, who's winning right now? Do we know? I-Man is dusting Squirrel, and what about the other side? Legend is beating Jim. That is right now. 30 minutes to go. That doesn't. 80% in, but we have not counted Louisiana yet, where they vote early and often. We will be right back after this.